You're listening to SBS News.
A group of islanders has taken the federal government to the United Nations, claiming it's failed to address the climate emergency in the Straits. They fear the survival of their culture is at stake and say the islands are on the path to becoming uninhabitable. Yese Mosby says his island home is disappearing at a staggering pace.
Within 4 years, we've seen 8 metres got taken away. It's scary. Every day is a fearful day for us. Every day something has been taken away from this place.
The Kolkagul man is from Masig, a tiny island in the Torres Straits where the issue of climate change is one of survival. Standing on a vast swathe of sand flat that he says was once the heartbeat of village life, Mr. Mosby describes the profound changes taking place as a result of rising seas.
All the villages used to be all along here. And as far as your eyes could see down, that way was full of palm trees. They weren't no beach. Here the beach was like 50 metres that way. And all this area used to have roads here. People used to sit under big almond tree making mats, telling story. Thing you see people go out, walk on the reef and come back. Everybody live happily.
It's a land at risk of vanishing, and so too a culture that has survived for millennia.
If our people will get moved off this land, then our entire race will die. We will die out. We will be lost. We will be a lost race of people.
The Torres Strait, off the northern tip of Queensland, is home to a chain of low-lying islands, 18 of which are inhabited by First Nations Australians, whose culture is tethered to the land. Herbert Warrisom is the Daybow clan leader on Saibai, the region's second most northerly island.
The winds, the songs, the traditional language, the traditional gardening, fishing. So land and sea is my connection, it's heart and soul. All of that is at stake.
According to the Climate Council, sea levels in the Torres Strait are rising at twice the rate of the global average. The shallowness in this stretch of ocean exacerbates storm surges, and when they coincide with high tides, extremely high sea levels result. Already, the islands are in peril. Salt water is seeping into the freshwater supply, Mr. Warrisom says.
Each year, the salt water during king tides, it pushes in. I think 30 to 40 year time we might see salt water ride up, and the indicators will be the water wells.
That's also the case on Masig, where Mr. Mosby says food sources are also under threat.
There will be a particular time that we will eat a certain fish, or we will plant a certain plant like a yam or something. You don't see those yams anymore. Certain fish are not found on a particular reef when they used to be in the abundance. Are not there.
He says inundation is washing away roads, sacred cultural sites and the remains of loved ones.
Very heartbroken is, you know, nobody on earth should experience something like this, where you have to go and search for your loved one remains, especially when you are connected to that person by blood, through birth, through marriage.
Saibai, 4 kilometres off the coast of Papua New Guinea and home to 500 people, is especially at risk, the Climate Council is warning. Herbert Warrisom fears the island could become uninhabitable.
We're certainly going through it now in real time. We're witnessing the now impact of climate change. The decision of relocation will be on my children, on their shoulders, in their generation.
For Yese Mosby, to lose the land is to lose everything. He's among 8 Torres Strait Islanders pursuing a global first legal case against the Australian government, arguing its inaction on climate change is a violation of their rights to culture.
My fear for my 6 kids is that I don't want them to be refugees in their own country. I want them to live a life of freedom. I want them to practice what I've been practiced, what my father and mother has been practiced, and my grandparents and so forth, how we've been doing this for hundreds and thousands of years.
The case filed with the United Nations in 2019 is a global first, but one that has echoes of the past, says Yama Island traditional owner Ned David.
I think you have to resort to going to court, you know, with what Eddie Mabo has done, and I think in this instance this is a, I guess, the same sort of course of action that we have to take.
Ned David is the chair of the Sea and Land Council, the main native title body for the Torres Strait region. He played a key role in getting the claim off the ground. At the time, he described it as the next chapter in our story, ensuring our traditional culture survives climate change. Sophie Marjanak, an Australian climate lawyer with environmental legal charity Climate Earth, is representing the eight claimants. She says a ruling on the case is expected to be handed down by the end of this year.
Our clients are hoping that the decision will confirm that their human rights are being violated by the Australian government's inaction on climate change. They're living with the effects of climate change every day, and they are seeing those impacts on their cultural rights, their family life, and their homes. And we are hoping that this decision will confirm that climate change is a serious human rights issue, not only for the Torres Strait, but for people around the world.
The Morrison government has told SBS it is confident its climate change policies are consistent with international human rights obligations, adding it has committed to providing infrastructure supports in the Torres Strait. This includes investing $25 million for seawalls, funding that was to begin in 2019 and continue to 2023. Traditional owners on Massig are still waiting for construction to begin. On Saibai, a long-awaited $25 million seawall designed to protect the island from inundation was completed in 2017. More than 2 kilometres long, it was funded by both the federal and Queensland governments. Locals say so far it's worked, but their concern is it's only delaying the inevitable. The Torres Strait Eight are urging the government to take stronger action in reducing greenhouse gas emissions. They're hoping the UN ruling will pressure governments to help save their island homes. Abby O'Brien, SBS News.